Thoughts in the Temple. In the quiet spaces of my mind, a thought lies still but ready to spring. It begs me to open the door so it can walk about. The poets speak in obscure terms, pointing madly at the unsayable. The sages say nothing but walk ahead, patting their thigh, calling for us to follow. The monk sits pen in hand, poised to explain the cloud of unknowing. The seeker seeks, just around the corner from the truth. If she stands still, it will catch up with her. Pause with us here a while. Put your ear to the wall of your heart. Listen for the whisper of knowing there. Love will touch you if you are very still. If I say the word God, people run away. They've been frightened, sat on till the spirit cried uncle. Now they play hide and seek with somebody they can't name. They know he's out there looking for them and they want to be found, but there is all this stuff in the way. I can't talk about God and make any sense, and I can't not talk about God and make any sense. So we talk about the weather and we are talking about God. I miss the old temples where you could hang out with God. Still, we have pet pounds where you can feel love draped in warm fur and sense the whole tragedy of life and death. You see there the consequences of carelessness, and you feel there the yapping urgency of life that wants to be lived. The only things lacking are the frankincense and myrrh. We don't build many temples anymore. Maybe we learn that the sacred can't be contained. Or maybe it can't be sustained inside a building. Buildings crumble. It's the spirit that lives on. If you had a temple in the secret spaces of your heart, what would you worship there? What would you bring to sacrifice? What would be behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies? Go there now. That's by Tom Barrett from his collection Keeping in Touch. 5 days a week, Joe Riley of Seattle sends out a poem, a photo, and linked music to thousands of people around the world through the Yahoo group Panhala. Panhala means source of deep water in Sanskrit. His criterion for selection is loosely defined as that which makes life a little richer. You can send a blank email to panhala-subscribe@yahoogroups.com if you'd like to receive them. You're listening to the Sunday edition of Third Paradigm, a weekly show that brings politics into bed with religion. I'm your host, Teresa Caraggio. Today's featured rant will be What's Religion Got to Do with It? We'll examine the concept of God in a way sure to provoke Christians, Jews, and atheists alike as an equal opportunity offender. And we'll ask whether the separation of church and state has resulted in the existence of neither. But first, we'll give you the real good news, events of kindness, solidarity, and wisdom in this week's global news. Our first selection is a video clip from CNN on paying it backwards at a coffee shop in Loveland, Colorado.
You might think only in a place called Loveland.
May I have a single venti?
Could generosity pour out in the form of a venti cafe latte?
There you are. You have a great day. Thank you so much.
It's in this drive-thru at this Starbucks in Loveland where more and more people are picking up a story like the one Lindo Green now tells.
We pulled up to the window, and when we get to the window, the girl in the window says, there's no charge today.
The woman in front of him had already paid his bill.
It almost kind of took my breath away for a minute. It was such a wonderful surprise, you know, out of the blue.
Green then decided to pay for the person behind him.
Well, I jokingly said, well, this was paying it backwards.
Anything else for you today?
Julia Damasino says she used to see this kind of gesture only once in a while. But now she says, for reasons she can't explain, it's becoming darn near common.
I've seen a woman cry. I've seen 15 cars at one time. like it go through 15 cars.
Now the Black Cup here in town has seen similar random acts of kindness. So it's not only happening at Starbucks, and it's not only happening in Loveland either. Over the weekend, a woman was in the checkout line at the Walmart in Greeley. And when she went to pay, the cashier told her that the man ahead of her had put $20 towards her bill.
The way our economic world is kind of in the pits right now, I think something like this just shows how many good people are out there.
It also shows that when it comes to the ultimate pick-me-up, coffee can't hold a candle to the human heart.
I hope it turns into an epidemic.
That was a selection sent to me by Karma Tube, which is put out by something called CharityFocus.org. Once a week, they send out a video on hopeful things that are happening in the news. Our second feature is from Drumbeat, which is put out by the Communications Initiative Network. They write that in June 2008, they launched Radio Farah al-Nas, Joy of the People, a community radio station in Amman, Jordan, designed to be fully grounded in community needs and realities, with young people at the helm. For this reason, InterNews trained and supported young people, ages 10 to 24, to operate the radio station. The young journalists are learning the technical and journalistic skills needed to fulfill their commitment to promoting change for their communities and country through transparent reporting and unbiased news coverage. Managed by the Jordanian Heshemite Fund for Human Development, Radio Farah al-Nas broadcasts news and covers political, development, and social issues that directly affect Jordanians, in particular youth and women. This is also the weekend of the Fort Benning protest, where thousands gather in Georgia to confront the School of the Americas, renamed WISC but called the School of Assassins by those whose family and community members have been tortured or killed by its graduates. So how is this a sign of hope? To do what Yes Magazine calls a yes take on it, despite the fact that SOA Watch founder Father Roy Bourgeois is being threatened with excommunication from the Vatican, their theme this year is Yes, We Can. We can close down the SOA. They report guarded optimism that this may be the year that the U.S. stops funding torture in all forms, Guantanamo, extradition to secret prisons, the School of the Americas, or military aid to ruthless foreign governments. In the U.S., on another front, New American Dream is starting the tradition of Buy Nothing Day on November 28th. The Friday after Thanksgiving, typically called Black Friday for the in the black of retail sales, is the biggest shopping day of the year. Last year, we in the U.S. spent nearly $28 billion on this weekend alone. Saying that spending won't rescue our economy, they list alternatives for a day of boycotting consumerism. Also boycotting consumerism at a radical level are three young British men. They're walking across England without money, singing for their supper, camping out, and relying on the kindness of strangers to survive. Calling themselves singing adventurers, they have taken three major trips in the past 3 years, sleeping wherever they can and foraging for food. They sing three-part songs, ancient and modern, wherever they're welcomed. They busk in heaving towns, chant in crumbling chapels, and get feet tapping in many a pub across the land. This is another video from KarmaTube about their adventure.
Is that your sweet lovely Nan? Say 10,000 times adieu.
And we call them the Hobbits.
Robin Hood.
Troubadours.
Yeah, troubadours.
Troubadours,
yeah.
Come and visit for the night.
We did nickname them the Smelly Boys.
I named them the Bold Foresters because they, to me, they look like men of the woods.
We've been walking around the country for 6 months and we started in Canterbury and we've made our way across the south coast, wiggling a lot. People ask us whether we've, you know, done sort of 400 miles or how many miles we've done, and we never know because we stop somewhere, go up and down and round, and then carry on and then go back a bit. And we've been staying in all sorts of places.
Staying outside quite a lot, in woodland. Stayed a couple of weeks in the New Forest, built shelters there.
There's always been some sort of intention between us to go on an adventure of some sort. And then we started learning certain bits and pieces like about edible plants and herbalism and survival outdoors and things like that. And it evolved into what we're doing now, I suppose. There was no one point that came along and said to us, oh, you've got to do this right now. It just, as all things do, it's a number of causative factors.
Hey, la, 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 la. And we thought, what's going on? What's going on here? And there are these two men in green with little leather knives strapped to them and
pouches,
pouches and capes and beardy.
Is that your sweet, lovely Nancy?
It's one of those enjoyable things to do, sing a song, and people seem to get really happy about people singing. And it also keeps us in bread, you know? We can afford a crust, and sometimes a little bit more, sometimes cake. We can afford cake.
We felt quite relaxed with them.
But that adventure really takes everybody in, you know, just going. They were like modern-day disciples, really, yeah. Any religious element to it at all.
Yeah, they were.
Just amazing.
They're connecting with the land, but they're also contributing to communities that they invade, so to speak. You know, I mean, they've been to sing songs around old people's homes, and it's not just, you know, you could look at them if you're not really into this kind of lifestyle that they're into and think they're just freaks and weirdos, but they're not, because they're actually connecting with mainstream people as much as the alternative or bohemian communities that they come across.
And one of the things I did with Will and Ed was to take them round to the local primary school, and the children just thought Robin Hood had come to town, and it was so enchanting. They just swarmed round Will and Ed.
Some sort of wild cabbage. Could be an escape from fields, but it used to grow wild anyway. People come along and say, oh, what are you doing? And we tell them, and they put us up for the night, whether it's in a barn or a stable or on their floor or in a bed, or
in a double bed, or in a triple bed. What an amazing thing. Overwhelming at times.
It's completely restored my faith in English hospitality, that's for sure.
A particularly enriching experience, them coming here. I mean, we've told so many people about it.
A big impact, actually. Yeah, not going to forget them.
That was from KarmaTube. If you'd like to see that video, you can go to karmatube.org, or you can sign up at charityfocus.org and have videos like that sent to you once a week. You're listening to Third Paradigm Sunday Edition, and it's time for the religious rant. This week's topic is, what's religion got to do with it? The concept of God and the separation of church and state. I'll begin with a paraphrase from the 18th century Anglican theologian J.A.T. Robinson. God is, by definition, the ultimate reality. To ask whether reality exists is pointless. The interesting question is, what is reality like? This question is put another way by John Dominic Crossan, who is the Howard Zinn of Bible history. He's created the Jesus Seminars, where over 100 international Bible scholars vote by color on whether the research in their studied opinion shows that particular Bible passages are authentic or not. The way that he phrases the same question is, what is the character of your God? Not the name, not the denomination, but the character of your God. We define our gods by their names, not their characters. Likewise, we define our religions by their names and not by their content. We don't say, my religion is against torture, my religion is for equality. We define them by the shapes of their buildings, church, mosque, temple, synagogue. We define them by their prohibitions, what you can't wear, eat, or do. We define them by their rituals and customs. But all of these are forms. They're just outer, superficial differences. None of these describe the real content of the religion. They don't ask the hard question of God. You there, God, do you love all children equally? Don't try to squirm out of it. It's a simple yes or no. Don't give me that slippery biblical ambivalence. The Bible is indeed ambivalent on God's view of equality. In both the Jewish Bible, the Torah or Old Testament, and the New Testament or the story of Jesus. The Old Testament trouble starts with God's preference for Abel's gift over Cain's. No explanation is ever given. Is God a carnivore who likes meat better than vegetables? Abel, after all, is a shepherd, while Cain is a farmer. We have only the omniscient word for it that Cain did, in fact, kill his brother on the basis of the sibling rivalry for God's affection. Maybe when Cain says he's not his brother's keeper, he's merely telling the truth. But if he did indeed kill Abel, who set that ball in motion? Why did God favor Abel over Cain? Do we believe in a God who engenders fratricide, knowing what's going to happen by pitting one child against another? The story of Jesus and Christianity as we know it is based on the belief that God loves Jesus better than the rest of humanity put together. Jesus in Roman Catholic theology is God's only begotten Son, which makes the rest of us, what, chopped liver? If we're all God's children, how does that work? Child is a permanently diminutive state, a small dependent. Son, however, can convey an equal in all things except who came first. If Jesus is the only one who's begotten, are we humans God's creatures? Or God's bastard children, sinful on the side of our Mother Earth, but with a divine spark? In both the creation story and the story of redemption, God is personified as having favorites among his, and that spelling in context, children. For the atheist out there, the question still applies minus the personification of God. When humans pulled themselves out of the evolutionary muck by their own genetic bootstraps, did we land on the other side of the divide as equals? Or were some of us more or less like our monkey uncles? In Blessed Unrest by Paul Hawken, he describes Darwin as concluding the latter. When he has his first encounter with natives in Tierra de Fuego, he writes, "I could not believe how wide was the difference between a savage and civilized man. It is greater than between a domesticated and wild animal." Of their language, he says, "It does not deserve to be called articulate. Captain Cook says it is like a man clearing his throat, to which may be added another very hoarse man trying to shout, and a third encouraging a horse with that peculiar noise which is made in one side of the mouth. I believe if the world was searched, no lower grade of man could be found." Hawken then goes on to describe the richness of the Fuegan vocabulary and the intelligence of their adaptations to their ecosystem as discovered by other people than Darwin. So as the enlightened atheist drives his Prius with the little Darwin walking fish on it, this belief in the dogma of superiority of the winners is what he's giving the high five to. Survival of the fittest says that the winners are better than the losers, and that's why they won. What they did in order to win is of no consequence. Conquest, whatever. The hundreds of indigenous languages that have disappeared, along with most of the people who once spoke them, disappeared because they were inferior to English or the other languages of conquest. Competition, in this paradigm, not only makes the world go round, but competition has actually made the world out of chaos. Therefore, the first paradigm, creationism, is based on a divine hierarchy of who God likes best. The innocence of Abel exists only by contrast to the guilt of Cain. The innocence of Jesus, likewise, serves to underscore the inherently guilty state of humanity. The second paradigm, evolution, is also based on a hierarchy of who was favored by nature. Were each born worthy or unworthy, civilized or savages, based on the merits of our ancestors. However, the society we live in is obviously based on inequality. But neither science nor religion gives an alternative. In fact, both Judeo-Christian scriptures and Western science are in complete agreement that our reality is inherently hierarchical. The difference between them is semantic. One calls the reality God, and the other calls it nature. So, is there a third paradigm that leaves open the possibility that in reality, which some call by the word God and others call human nature, all people are of equal value? In a one-word answer, yes. But the rest of the words on how will be filled in on next Sunday's show. Third Paradigm also produces a Thursday edition that focuses on economics and how to take back community sovereignty. The first broadcast will be on Thanksgiving Day at 10 o'clock. My feature at that time will be an open letter to President-elect Obama called Everything I Know About Governing, I Learned from Raising Kids. Tune in, and in the meantime, we'll close with Bruce Coburn's Wondering Where the Lions Are. Thank you for listening.
Sun's up, looks okay. The world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Had another dream about lions at the door. They were not as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls of those trees, waves coming through. You be and me and I'll be you together in eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. So sweet, or down in the valley where the river used to be. I got my mind on eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. And I'm wondering where the lions are. I'm wondering where the lions are. Don't you sing that? I'm wondering where the lions are. I'm wondering where the lions are. I'm wondering where the lions are. Come on. I'm wondering where the lions are. Helmet shining in the sun, polished and precise like the brain behind the gun. Should be, they got me thinking about eternity with some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. And I'm wondering where the lions are. I'm wondering where the lions are. surface of the bay. One of these days we're gonna sail away, gonna sail into eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold.